John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 152.
Correct.
152. Presented by Parse Rum. I have a Parse Rum story.
Ooh.
Okay. So one of our friends at Parse is in Oregon. Goes and meets this guy in Bend, Oregon, who is a massive Cub fan. And guess what else? He's an avid Compound listener. He brought Parse into his bar because he had heard about it on the Compound, wanted to try it out, and now he is a big Parse guy. So shout out to us for talking about Parse, and shout out to our friend for bringing it into his bar and making everybody look good.
And he's saving the planet.
Bend, Oregon, also probably the nicest city in America. Beautiful city.
Like the nicest people or like the actual nicest? Like just the best very city in America?
Very scenic town in central Oregon. You got to go over the mountains, then you're in a really nice spot. I love Bend, Oregon. Shout out Bend, Oregon.
Shout out Parse, shout out Bend, Oregon. Also, Parse is the rum for whiskey drinkers. And it's premium dry style flavor profile that everybody's going to love. So if you're a whiskey drinker, go get some Parse. Also, go to your local liquor store or bar. Ask them about Parse. Ask them to bring it in. Ask them to try it. Ask them to put it on the shelves and see what they say. Because that's what our friend in Oregon did. And are we calling Bend a Parse town? I would. I would call it a Parse city.
They should hang a banner up there. Just when you, like over a bridge, whenever you cross to get in there. About Parse.
About Parse. You know how outside of the stadiums, they put like the banners up?
Yep.
We should have those on the main street and they just say Parse.
I have a perfect solution. The stadium in Bend, Oregon is built the wrong way. So the outfield, it's the sun sets in the outfield. So they have to take sun breaks sometimes. And they have like those giant banners they hang up. Actually, I remember one time we played there and they didn't have the banners. And well, let me tell you, it was a nothing game late into that one because nobody was seeing anything at the plate. But what? you can hang Parse
banners.
And so that covers the sun. So then the batters can actually be able to see the ball and might be able to hit it.
What league is Bend in?
The West Coast League, the summer ball, the Bend Elks.
I had that in Massachusetts. I think it's Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Yeah. There was a sun delay when we played there.
I think those are like the only two stadiums that host like any sort of high level baseball that have. They were built like very long time ago that are just oriented the wrong way.
What do you want to start with today? I got something I want to start with. And I just want to address it and then I just want to move past it. Okay. I'm going to start talking about what Chris Russo said about Ohtani and Trout's at-bat to end WBC. You guys might have thought I was going to talk about something else when I said I just want to address it, move past it. But guess what? This is what I want to talk about.
I did think you were going to talk about something else. Can you say what he said? Because I honestly didn't see it.
Okay. He said it's not that big of a deal. Everyone was like, it's such an amazing at-bat. What a great way for WBC to end. Two best players in the world, blah, blah, blah. He was like, it's not even that big of a deal because Trout's not that good. He strikes out all the time. And I think he said he strikes out 175 times a year and he struck out two times in the game and it doesn't matter.
Like what?
Tom, can you actually get the real quote, please? So here's my point. Crazy take. Crazy, crazy take. Couldn't be more wrong. Trout's only struck out more than 175 times one time in his career. Guess what else he did that year? Won the MVP. Okay.
Here you go. I have the quote. He quote said he was bored stiff at the end of that game, which worried about his pulse then. Did you see the headlines today? Russo asked on the show. Epic at bat. Incredible moment. What? Why? Because they're teammates? And Trout does nothing but strike out. Trout struck out twice in that game. Everybody talks to me about Trout is Joe DiMaggio. I mean, Trout strikes out 175 times a year. He also continued to say that the at bat had no suspense because nobody was on base.
It was a one run game. So
yeah,
this is the craziest take of all time. First of all, to say that Mike Trout strikes out all the time and to say that he's the best player in baseball. He still is the best player in baseball. Okay. It was an electric at bat. He had some nasty takes. Ohtani's throwing a hunch. Okay. And he's spitting on pitches. He's spitting on pitches all over the place. And the more important point here is with how great of a moment that was and how great that game was for someone who is paid by MLB Network to have a show on MLB Network and promote the game and goes on ESPN and talks about baseball in hope to promote the game, that this is this guy's take. This is who's promoting baseball. What's happening? Am I hearing this can be a real take from someone that gets paid to watch the game and actually is on a network that sole purpose is to get more people to watch the game. There's no way that this guy's being paid by someone who's actually trying to get more people to watch baseball.
My thing is, go ahead, Zach.
I just don't understand how you can say that, like you said, and get paid to do it and not, like, if you're a part of baseball, right? Like, he's been on MLB Network, right?
For a while. 3 years.
Yeah. How are you in good faith saying that and, like, actually putting that out to the public? And like believing in it and having an argument for it. I don't get it. Like, it's just so wrong. Even if, no matter how you put it, yeah, he strikes out a lot. Okay. But guess what? He has a one dot for his career. Don't care. What?
But that's my thing. I don't think he believes it. I think all these pundits, like Stephen A. Smith, like all these guys, like they get paid to have these takes to make the news. I refuse to believe that he actually thinks that Trout isn't very good. And he strikes out all the time. I think he literally was looking for clicks and getting like attention to it. And he got that. But I refuse to believe he actually thinks that because like you said, he follows baseball. Like he actually knows baseball. So it's like, if you actually think that, your credibility is gone because it's just not true.
If you are paid to promote the game and you're part of the unit at Major League Baseball or the network or whatever, that's supposed to promote the game, I take. You can't, because you can't go on and you can't have the casual fan hear that because it's so destructive.
But I think if anything, it draws more attention to baseball because if anything, it got people talking more about it. So I think it kind of worked.
Him. Got people talking about him.
Yes. But at the same time, like you don't think 2 months into the season when Mike Trout's hitting 400 with 30 home runs already that everyone's not going to be like, you idiot, you see how good he is. Like, I feel like it's still like it's going to draw more attention to them.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that he's in the Outrage Olympics. This is someone whose entire job is to get clicks. I mean, this is a guy I remember. I grew up in New York. He was on WFAN for 25 years. He's a revolutionary figure when you talk about sports media. But this is a guy who lost his fastball 15 years ago. I mean, this is a guy in 2007 or 8, the Yankees traded for Xavier Nady and Damaso Marte. And I remember he came on the radio the next day and said the Pirates should cease to be a franchise and was screaming at the top of his lungs, the Pirates should cease to be a franchise. So this is a guy that's been a clown for 15 years, continuing clown stuff. This is why companies like John Boy Media have been able to succeed because the mainstream part of sports media has turned into this outrage Olympics culture where it's just, what can I say today that will end up on Twitter that will get us coverage? And that's it. That's all they care about at the end. They don't care about promoting the sport. They don't care about informing people. They care about getting clicks and driving money toward their advertiser. And that's it. And if you understand that, it makes it much easier to understand what he's doing. He's just saying inflammatory shit to say inflammatory shit.
That's my point is, don't you agree, Tom? Like, I don't think he truly believes that. I think he's literally trying to get clicks. And he's like, oh, if I say this, people are going to go nuts. Like, let me just say it.
I don't even think it matters if he,
yeah.
Like, I'm so beyond like caring if he believes it, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. He's saying it in a public forum. It doesn't matter if he believes it at this point. He's doing it.
Is it like him or ESPN, do you think? Like, does ESPN come up to him and say, hey, Chris, let's say some crazy shit today? Or like,
that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, that has to happen. I believe that happens. Like, you don't think Charles Barkley and Stephen A, like, they're not told, like, hey, man, like, just say something crazy. Like, I don't know. Why not? It'll be great. Like, we'll get it posted everywhere.
Or these guys just get so into it that they get delusional and start doing it themselves. But like JJ Redick's been pretty honest, and like he is the one who actually speaks the truth on those programs and will fight people. And like he's been pretty honest about like where he get like that he is, you know, fighting the good fight for everybody who actually is like sane in media.
Yeah. I think he's awesome to listen to.
Sports media in the mainstream right now is about pushing narratives. That's it. Mm-hmm. He's pushing that narrative, and whether or not he believes it, it's harmful and it's destructive, and it continues to feed an ecosystem that is broken beyond belief.
Can I give you a hot take? As long as we're talking about hot takes, hot take brought to you by Roman.
Hot take brought to you by Roman. Do you want a better sex life? If so, you're not alone. A lot of guys want to enjoy a better sex life. Up to 50% of men have symptoms that get in the way of wanting or enjoying sex. But Roman is here to help. Roman is the digital health clinic for men, offering genuine medication that helps achieve and maintain a strong erection. In men with low T, getting testosterone levels back to normal can help increase your libido. Roman offers a testosterone test, and if it's appropriate for you, treatment for low T. At Roman, there's no waiting rooms and no hassle. It's a straightforward digital experience from the comfort of your own home. If medication or testing is appropriate, Roman will send it directly to your door. Everything arrives in discreet packaging with free 2-day shipping. To learn more about how you can achieve your own personal sexual health goals, go to ro.co/johnboy today to get 20% off your entire first order. That's ro.co/johnboy for 20% off your entire first order.
What, Tom?
Okay, here's my hot take. I think Shohei Ohtani is the most valuable player in baseball, but I do not think that he is the best player in baseball. Whoa. Hot take.
Mad Dog, just take over your body for a minute.
I just want to say, like, what he did was incredible. And he is by far the most valuable player in baseball because he fills two spots as one human. Okay. He is a top 10, 15 starting pitcher, right?
Yes.
No one would argue that he's like top five. There's definitely five guys better than him that are starting pitchers that would be aces, but he's.
Didn't he have like a 2.5 last year, like a 2 something last year?
Tom?
I feel like it's. Continue with your argument for why he's not.
Okay.
And then I'll give you my count.
And I think you would say that there's probably five guys that are better hitters than him as well, right? Like, he's exceptional. Correct. And he's an incredible hitter. He's top 10 hitter in the game, too.
Shohei Ohtani's 2022 pitching stats. He went 15-9 with a 2.33 ERA in 166 innings, 124 hits, 219 strikeouts in 166 innings.
I was going to say, if anything, Ian,
that's pretty good.
If anything, Ian, I'd flip your takes. I'd say he's a top 5, top 10 pitcher, a top 10, top 15 hitter. I think he's a little lower on the hitting chart, but on the pitching, I think he's higher than you had him.
He still had 40 homers, though.
Yes, but I think you could name. I don't know. I'd have to actually make the list.
You're going to go Trout, Goldschmidt, Mookie.
Arenado,
Soto.
I mean, there's a good amount. I think I'd still take over him hitting wise.
So here's my point. He's by far the most valuable because he's going to be a 5 or 6 war pitcher, and then he's a 4 or 5 war hitter. And before you know it, he's a 9 to 10 war player every single year. Mm-hmm. Judge did that. Oh yeah, you put Judge ahead of him, hitter. Judge did that as, you know, a hitter. He had a 10.6 WAR just as a hitter. Like, what I'm saying is, there's guys that are like I don't know. I think when you talk about like the best players in baseball, like, I'm still gonna put Trout and Judge up there. Shohei is by far the most valuable, and he deserves to be paid $60 million next year. He's probably gonna get a 12 for 600. It's gonna be crazy. But like,
I just.
That was
I don't
my
know
hot
how
take.
You
As
separate...
I was thinking about it, I was like, he's so good, but like, he just plays two positions and it's amazing and it's incredible what he does. Exceptional. I was just thinking about it and I was like, is he the best player in baseball or is he the most valuable? That's my hot take of the day.
I've tried to come in 3 times and he's paused and started talking. I'm trying to ask you, how do you differentiate the two? Like, what does that mean? What does an MVP mean versus best player?
I'm trying to differentiate the two. I'm trying to say, like,
At their peak of their one thing, like, you pick one thing, like, if Shohei at his very best pitching, like, would you rather have him or DeGrom at their very best? Like, I'd rather have DeGrom. If you pick Trout versus Shohei hitting at their very best, who would you rather have? I'd rather have Trout. I'd probably rather have Judge.
He can do both at an MVP level. I mean, last year
that's what I mean.
The Cy Young, and he won the MVP the year before this. I don't really understand this argument at all. He's a
well, he could win.
We just agreed he's a top. Okay, but hold on one second. He's
no
a top
Tom.
10
no,
he's a top 10 player as both a pitcher and a hitter. No, like that means he's the best player in baseball. I don't understand
That's Ian's. I see what Ian's saying because I get when you take into account both. You have to say he's the best. Like he's, I don't know though, because he's definitely the most valuable. I think I'm on Ian's team.
I think he's the best baseball player on planet Earth.
But is he a better hitter than Mike Trout? No. Is he a better pitcher than Jacob DeGrom?
He's
no.
Like a monster.
But he does both.
Like he is literally like both linked together and just
and
like
that's why I agree with Ian.
Like he's built in a lab, bro. Like he has the best of both worlds.
And Mike Trout isn't.
Yes, but like he doesn't pitch, bro. Doesn't pitch.
Okay.
He probably could, honestly.
I think here's the
he might golf. He's making a golf course, but he doesn't pitch.
Good for him on the golf course. Huh? But here's the
qualification. Don't get sidetracked. Keep going.
Here's the difference is that maybe he is the best baseball player in the world, and maybe he is the most valuable baseball player in the world. But I think everybody can agree that he's neither the best pitcher or the best hitter in the game.
Yes, that's where I'm with you. I agree with that. But I do agree with Tom and Zach that he is definitely the most valuable. Like, you'll take him. If you get one guy right now to start your team, you're taking Shohei Ohtani.
100%. 100%. Because he fills two spots. He's worth, like, his, like, downside scenario is, like, 7 wins or 8 wins. And, like, his upside is, like, 9 or 10. Like, I don't know. He does two things. And you just pay one guy to do two. And you can fill your roster out. But, like,
he's also 27 years old. I mean, he's about to enter his prime. We haven't even seen probably his best baseball yet. Think about that.
Will he be the best hitter? Or what if he won the MVP and the Cy Young? That would be fucking crazy.
I mean, he should have won MVP last year, but Judge hit 900 home runs.
Well, Judge was more valuable. More valuable.
So who was the better hitter last year, Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani? Aaron Judge. That's a fact.
And Verlander was a better pitcher.
Another fact. That's the argument. I don't think Ian's trying to say that anyone. I mean, we already said it. Like, there's no one more valuable. Like, Ian, if you're starting a team right now, you're starting your team with Shohei, correct?
100%. Give me him.
Yes.
He'll start opening day, then he'll DH the rest of them, and he's the best player in baseball. Like, but he's not the best hitter, or he's not the best pitcher. So it's a very interesting.
It's just the fact that he does both that makes him the best overall player.
Correct.
I can understand this argument if you're like, if he was an amazing pitcher, right? Like, let's say he finished fourth in the Cy Young, which he did last year. And then he was. Let's just say he did the thing he did last year. But then let's say he was a 100 level OPS player, right? He was just an average hitter. He would still be the best player in baseball, guys. So I don't understand. Like, the fact that he didn't win the MVP means that the fact that he didn't win the Cy Young, he has to be the best at both to be the best player. I just don't track the logic.
Well, no one's saying he has to win
the MVP, what else does he have to do to become the best player in your mind? He has to be the best at hitting or the best at pitching?
That's what I'm saying. If you separate them and look at him just as a hitter, he's not the best hitter. If you look at him just as a pitcher, he's not the best pitcher. But obviously, he does both, so it makes him the best.
And maybe he is, and we're not saying that he's not the most valuable. Everybody has agreed he's the most valuable.
Yes.
And I guess he is the best baseball player on the planet.
He's the best baseball player, I kind of went a little off it, and I said, is he the best hitter or best pitcher? No. But he does both, which makes him the best,
and he's the only guy that can do
it's fascinating elite at both,
because you've never had to have the debate of like, and you know what's crazy, it's when he closed and threw 102. Looking to pay him for the next 12 years, I'd be like, shit, if maybe we can just make him a closer for the last like five, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, just sit 100.
But just like watching him throw and like get up to face Trout, literally throwing 102 and the ball's moving like that much too.
Dude.
Do you know how many times I rewinded and slowed down those Japanese guys like pitching motions? And I'm like, wait a second. Like, they're not even like moving very fast. How do they throw 100? I'm like, I want to throw like you guys.
How crazy was that? Was it 89 mile an hour slider you threw him that last pitch?
They did the metrics on it, and they said it's like absolutely ridiculous too.
It was insane.
You saw it. It was going and took like a 90 degree angle.
And Russo's hot take is that Trout strikes out all the time. Get out of here. That was a hot take. Ro.co. Tom didn't like it very much. Tom got a little angry. A little angry at everybody. It's okay, Tom.
Tom misconstrued it. We're not trying to chop down Shohei. We're just saying.
We're actually trying to lift him up. I think he's getting six.
It just feels very ironic. We did a segment talking about how hot takes are bad, and then Ian immediately follows it up with, "Well, here's a bad hot take I have." just my two cents.
Ian phrased it poorly to where it sounded like Ian was trying to be like, "I don't think Shohei's that good." I'm like, "No, well,
that wasn't it."
He is.
I led with he's the most valuable player in the game.
No, we got to the core of it. We understand.
Yeah, that. Give the guy $600 million.
So should we talk about our ex co-host?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nico, who we started the podcast with. Maybe you've heard of him. He's on your team. Plays second, a little short, a little third.
I think let's talk about Nico. Let's talk about the cool things that happened.
Is it brought to us by
baseball fans? America's pastime is back. Step up to the plate for some season opener action with DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top rated sportsbook apps. Right now, new customers can place a $5 pregame money line bet and get $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Talk about hitting it out of the park. Plus, everyone can get in on the major league action with a no sweat bet from DraftKings. Opt in, and if your first bet doesn't win, don't sweat it. You'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code COMPOUND. New customers can bet just $5 on any pregame money line and get $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook, again with code COMPOUND. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Baby, Tom. Nico, that ad is going to seem like Tom made it through flawlessly, but if you guys beg him enough on the Twitter, maybe he'll actually show you the real edit there. It's pretty powerful.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's also cut. That's not on the show either.
Nico signs a 3-for-35.
This is a dictatorship. I don't like it.
It is a dictatorship. The Nico signs a 3-for-35 with the show Cubbies. Really awesome for him. Gets us some security. He's still going to be a free agent at 29. The Cubs already had him under control for the next two, so they're giving him one more year for all the fans. And it lets him go play free for a couple of years, and he's still young enough to go back out and get paid. So I think it's a win-win and really an awesome deal for Neek, and I'm very proud of him.
I think exactly. I agree. I think it's a win-win. Like you said, you cover the two last years of ARB. You don't have to deal. I mean, you know, the stress of dealing with arbitration of like, oh, well, I think I'm worth this. They think I'm worth that. Like, we need to go to arbitration and figure it out. Like, he's done. Like, the next 3 years, he has nothing to worry about. Like, obviously you can always get traded, whatever, but he has nothing to worry about contractually. And he's just like, for the next 3 years, like you said, he can just go play baseball.
Which is something that, like, sorry, Zach, but like something that there is a period of time in your baseball career where like, it's hard to go play baseball. Like, you're a young player and you're trying to get, you know, in the lineup. And then, you know, once you do, you can just go play baseball for a couple of years because you're going to like the minimum. And then once you get to the ARP system, you know, your performance kind of dictates how you get paid. And so for him to just be able to go play baseball and not worry about any of that other stuff for 3 years is a very like mentally freeing thing. That's pretty cool.
And he was someone that had been dinged up in the past, you know, like he's had like a couple of injuries throughout his years. So I feel like that's something like you just feel more protected as a player knowing like, I have these next 3 years where I'm getting this money no matter what happens. Like, obviously, you still want to go out and perform and play great, and I'm sure he will. but it's just something to have that like insurance of I'm good, like I'm set for the next 3 years.
Yeah. And the Indians just extended Jimenez.
Whoa.
I saw that.
That's
a big one.
He had 7 for 106. I looked up his numbers. He had a good year last year. God bless.
He had a really, really, really good year. We played really good year in the fall league in 19 when he was still on the Mets, I think. And he was really – I mean, he's really young now. He was really young then. This is 4 years ago. We were all like, whenever we played him, we were just like, bro, this guy is going to be a star. It's just like held his own, like controlled the bat line to line. And it's this guy is the gold glove infielder. And it's just like, this guy's incredible. He's 20 years old, 19 years old. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, he gets paid. The Indians have $200 million contracts on the books. How many other teams in baseball have $200 million contracts, Tom?
Don't know. You said Indians. I don't know if you want to redo it. I don't know if you want to do it again.
Guardians have two.
Nice, Ian.
My bad.
I wonder if the Yankees have any more than two.
No.
The Yankees have like five.
I grew up an Indians fan, so like the Guardians. My dad was from Cleveland. The whole family was Indians fans. So I grew up an Indians fan with Vizquel and Manny Ramirez and Tommy and all the guys. And so the transition to Guardians has been one that's very difficult for me. I don't frequently say Guardians. And so apologies, Guardians. They have $200 million players. Name the other teams that have $200 million players.
Do you know the other teams or do you want me to guess?
No, I could try to guess. So the Yankees.
Mets, Padres.
Phillies.
Phillies. Astros.
Astros,
yeah, Astros.
Bregman and Altuve.
Do the Cubbies have a second? Was Dansby 100 or no?
Dansby's 100, but that's it.
I think he's the only one.
What about let's look at the playoff teams.
Cardinals have two.
Literally, look at the playoffs, right?
Brewers. Yelich has got to be making 100.
Yelich and Burns didn't get extended.
Burns doesn't have an extension.
Do you guys know how many players, this is according to SpotRack, which tracks contracts across all sports, are currently on a contract that's worth at least $100 million in Major League Baseball right now?
I'm going to guess.
I have no idea.
17.
I was going to say 20.
I believe it's 58.
What?
That number seems high.
I can send you. I can send you the list.
But I don't think you're lying. I believe
you're
you.
a facts guy. You're a facts guy.
I believe you, but it is true because if you think about it, like, who was it? Is it Acuna's deal? Like, doesn't someone have like a 10 for 100 or Ozzie Albies? Like, there are some that have like a lot of years.
Yeah, Acuna.
Acuna's at exactly 100. He's one of the guys exactly.
100. Yeah, Bregman's at exactly 100. Like, there's guys that are at exactly 100 in shorter term or whatever or longer term. But yeah, interesting. That's the Indians have $200 million players.
Guardians, Ian.
Guardians, damn it. Good for them for going and spending. And he's going to be around with Jose Ramirez for a long time. Pretty cool.
Jose Ramirez took a cut, too. He took a pay cut because he said he wanted to be there.
Yeah, true.
Probably Ian.
Gave some money to him.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
You don't have to answer, and we can cut this. What are your feelings going into a season in which you will be a free agent after the year? Like, what does that feel like? I guess, I mean, you haven't started playing yet, but like, how mentally do you handle that?
That's a good question. I don't think that, I don't know. I guess I've watched guys go through it. And so I watched our, you know, three guys for sure that were kind of there for a long time go through it. Watch Castellanos in the back end of his and like watch guys kind of go through it in different ways. And like, I think the most important part is just like, you just go out and play baseball. And like I think what I've been thinking about some is like, you look back at like your draft. I think your draft year is probably like the most comparable, like, you know, you're not going to be there at the end of this year, right? But you have to go out and do the things to like get drafted where you want to get drafted. And yeah, probably like you can obsess about it and you can like do all these things to like think about it all the time, but also like you can just go out and play baseball and you can just go out and play and like enjoy the group and like do the things that you know are important to you, whether that's like the way that you work or the way that you study your, you know, game planning and all that stuff. And then like you just go out and play and be available. And at the end of the year, it'll all look okay.
Sounds like you've had some training on that answer.
I've actually never answered that question before. And
ooh, let's go.
If anybody else asked me that question, except for maybe if it was Zach or Tom, I don't think I would have answered it.
Let's go. That's why I said, I was like, you don't have to answer. I was just curious.
Because I care about this pod.
Well, I was just curious because like we were talking about Nico, like having the 3 years, like, and then you're going into a year where it's like, well, like, let's see what happens. Like, you don't know what next year holds. Like, what this season holds, obviously, like you know, trades and all that. So I just was curious your thoughts on that.
The ARB process probably prepares you for that too, because like every year in ARB you could be pushing it forward or regressing.
True.
So it's like you think you get to a point where you're a little numb to it and you just go play. I think when you get in trouble is when you're like, that's all you think about, or like you're upset, or you're upset about how things have like transpired in the past, and like it's just like, just go and play baseball and enjoy the fact that you get to go do it.
Exactly. Because I feel like, I mean, it's not like, oh, April 10th, you went 0-4. Like, I'm not making any money next year. It's like, you can't, you know, you just got to go out and play the game.
Yeah. It's just really, it's that. And that's every year. It's like, you go, you know, you have a tough stretch, or you go in a little bit of a, you know, you get a tough gamer too. Like, that was something I learned last year too. It's like, it's the season's just so long.
But it's such an honor to get to that spot too.
Yeah.
Like you've gone, like, you know, they always say, okay, like, okay, debut. And you're like, okay, let's see how long I can spend up here. Okay, I want to get to ARB. And then it's like, okay, I want to get to free agency, you know, and like just to get there is such an honor in itself. And it's obviously, it's the same thing like what you're talking about in college or in high school when you know it's your draft year. It's like, okay, you know how many people would die to be in this position? Like, this is awesome. It's such a privilege and an honor. But it's so hard to think about that when you're in it. It's just like, oh my God, I have to do this or I'm not going to get whatever. Or it's, you know, like what you were saying, but it's so hard to think about it like that. But when you can take a step back and, you know, be like, wow, I am in a position where I could really change not only my life, but generations after me, you know, it's a pretty fulfilling thought and, you know, process to go through.
Yeah. And you're just doing the same thing you've done your whole life. I think that's like the biggest part. It's like, you're just going doing the same thing. You're just going playing baseball and like enjoying, you know, what that is. And it just happens to have pretty nice rewards. We had our first Wrigley workout today, is what I was going to say.
I didn't know who you guys opened up with, and I saw it was the Brewers. I was like, oh, season start. You got Corbin Burns. Go get him.
I mean, yeah, we did last year. We've opened with the Brewers, gosh, I think, three of the last four.
I saw John Boy, I think it was John Boy, or somebody posted something like, a lot of people are predicting Corbin Burns for like NL Cy Young.
He's a little pissed off.
So that's a fun guy to start out with.
He's a little pissed off.
Yeah, we had.
I was going to ask you. Last year, you had a good opening day, if I remember right. You had that double that threw down the line. You had another. Maybe, did you have two hits? I think maybe. Do you feel like when you have a good opening day? Because obviously you had a good year last year. Do you feel like that sets like, or does that matter at all?
Oh my God. Tom, how much pressure are you putting in on opening day now?
No, I mean, I'm just curious. Like, is that like, do you feel
no pressure, man?
No, opening day sets the tone for the whole season. The season's not over. I'm just curious.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I've had good opening days.
Famously 18.
19, I think you had a knock opening day.
Opening day was.
It was Nashville.
But regardless.
19, I think you hit a double opening day.
Yeah, I did.
Base
clearing double. Yeah, I rake. But I think
I was on third.
18 was like one of my. Third. What?
Yeah.
I said, I'm pretty sure if we're talking about the same at bat, I'm pretty sure I was on third base.
Yeah, it was in Nashville.
It was inside left or inside third base.
Yeah.
It was ready. I hit that homer in 18 to lead off the season and like.
Didn't play the next day.
Didn't play the next day. And that was like one of my toughest years in the big league. So it's like. Opening day doesn't matter. I mean, it matters. It's awesome. Like, it's a great day. But, like, what you do on opening day is as important as what you do on August 15th. Doesn't really matter. But the we've opened – I feel like I was just talking about it today. I was like, we've opened with the Brewers three of my – I've only had – because I didn't have opening day in 19 – or in 17 or 19. So I had 18 –
Yeah, you did. Nashville Sounds.
I had 18, 20, 21, 22 – and 23. So three of my five will have been against the Brewers because we opened in 20, 22, and 23 with the Brewers. Woodruff in 20, and then Burns in 22 and 23.
And we talked about it. I want to say we talked about it last year. I think we had Scotty on because he made opening day for the first time last year. Like we talked about, you said how cool opening day is, like just to get to experience. Because, I mean, like there's always your team, you could be any team in the world. Opening day, like you have all the excitement of like, who knows? Like it's baseball. Like we could go make the playoffs. We could make a run. Like, you know, obviously not every team's going to, but opening day is like, you never know. Like we could go win 162 games this year. It could happen.
Yeah. Everybody's excited. Like there's energy in the stadium. The fans are excited. Like it's a clean slate. Like everybody has so much opportunity in front of them. And like, you look at your team and like everybody in the big leagues has good players, right? Like you look at your team and you're like, we could do this. Like we have a legitimate chance to go compete. And like that part of it's cool. Your first anthem on opening day, like all that stuff is really cool. So I'm excited, but it was really cold at Wrigley today. It was about 38 to 40 degrees. It snowed this morning. Yeah. The wind was blowing in and it was a nice intro to be like, hey boys, this is what it's like. It's like Haas was just in San Diego for the last whatever 4 or 5 years. You had Belly was in LA, Dansby was in Atlanta. I was like, this is what we're dealing with here, boys. So this is what it looks like.
And you got 96 running in on the hands from Corbin Burns coming. So that's going to feel good. Don't get jammed.
Well, the pitch clock and like getting your pine tar, like, hey, I got to put my bat under the heater. Like I got to warm my hands up coming in from the outfield because I don't know if I'm going to hold this thing if I don't have enough.
Isn't that technically illegal?
Stick. No.
Isn't that a rule that bats aren't supposed to go into the heater?
I don't know.
Hitters trying to find an advantage per usual. Blame it on the pitcher. Always the pitcher's hitters. Fault. Never the hitter's fault. Whatever, man.
If you want to unfreeze the pine tar, you got to put it under the heater.
Too bad. Yours is frozen. How about why can't I unfreeze my hand with some hot pine tar? Tell me that.
You can have a hand warmer in your back pocket.
Can I throw a little sunscreen and rosin on it?
Yes, that is actually, no one is fighting sunscreen and rosin.
That's such a lie. Because
no one is fighting sunscreen and rosin.
Because you can't tell what it is, though. So that's such a lie.
No one is getting mad at a pitcher for sunscreen and rosin.
You're lying. Because if you go out there, if I come off the mound and there's sticky stuff on my hand, it's not like there's a label on my hand that says this is sunscreen and rosin, not spider tack.
There is a label. There is a label. One, the ball holds to your finger, and the other, just a little bit of,
I mean, sunscreen and rosin also adds RPMs, but I think there needs to be a middle ground.
You sound like
just because I'm sick of being on this hitters podcast where the hitters get all the pitchers are working too fast or they're working too slow and I got to get in the box and they have all this time on the mound. They can do whatever they want. Shut up.
I have a question.
In the box. Be ready to swing it.
Did you guys see the other day Nestor Cortes? What happened with him?
Yeah, he tried to quick cheat and they like, no.
Who was it? The guy was not looking up.
It was Candy.
You step those feet in the box, you better be ready to swing it.
I kind of agree with Dakota. It feels like if you're in the batter's box, the pitcher should be allowed to throw the ball.
What do I got to sit there for you to take three little practice half swings before you look at me? Like, just look at me. Let's go. Let's get this thing going.
What am I going to do? Jump into the box? Do you want me to hop into the box? All right, I'm going to be out of the box. Okay, I'm going to be looking at you, and I'm going to be in my ready position.
And then you step in.
Okay. And now you can throw. That's what we're going to do?
That works for me.
You're both crazy. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. As the hitter, I have until 8 seconds to look at you. Guess what? If I want to waggle my bat or I want to look at the ground until 8 seconds and then look at you, then that's what I'll do.
Well, guess what? As soon as that clock clicks to eight, boom, it's coming in.
Well, that's the thing. You can't start your motion until I'm looking at it. It's the whole point. Or else you'd have what Scherzer was doing earlier. When we talked about what Scherzer was doing earlier in the year, you weren't like, oh, I can't believe it.
Always catering to the hitters. The fans want to see more runs. Let's help the hitters. It's too hard to hit. Well, you should have been a pitcher then.
You guys shouldn't abuse the spider tack.
Never did. Never touched the stuff. Mm. Ooh. Speaking of that Nestor Cortes one, though, should we touch on the JT Realmuto?
Yes. Can I talk about something that helps hitters, though?
Bruce Bolt
batting gloves. They help hitters. Okay. Those are the batting gloves I use. You ever see the ones that I use? They're white with the blue. And now I got some new ones coming out. But they got the Bolt right there. Bruce Bolt. They're actually a family-owned business in Austin, Texas, started by a 16-year-old. And I'm a little biased, but I think they're the best batting gloves in the game. Real Cabretta leather. They fit better and last longer than any other glove on the market. I use a short cuff, but they have a long cuff that has like a big wrap. Bader uses those. For a little bit of extra support on the wrist. And I think they're the best in the game. But Bader, Nemo, Lars Nootbaar was wearing them in WBC.
Why don't you hook up ZS59 with some?
Well, I asked ZS59 if he wanted any, and he said he's got something else going on. Stinks.
Ooh. Oh,
but check out mine, my two different styles on brucebolt.us, brucebolt.us, or amazon.com.
I'll tell you one thing about ZS59. He's just not in it today. He said over under 20 words. I'm going under.
Boys, I had a long drive.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, and I had a workout in 30 degrees today, bro.
Oh, my God. Cry me a river.
Tell me about...
You could have slept so many different times during that.
No, you know what? The 30-degree workout's tough. Okay, I had one in a sport and it was tough. Let's talk about Realmuto.
You guys were just Realmuto in Arizona for 2 months. I've been living in it. Tom's been living in it.
Tom's trying to get us back on track because he's like, I'm going to have to edit all this out. I hate you guys.
No, this is not editing out. This is them being coddled. It's cold. Let's talk about Realmuto. I'm getting pissed. Let's talk about Realmuto.
Well, why don't you tell us about it? Weren't you the one that wanted to talk about it?
Tom sent it and said we needed to talk about it. And he said it was asinine, which was a fancy word, honestly.
Good word. It's basically what happened. I think everybody saw it, but for the fans, Kimbrel was pitching. John Boy actually did a really good breakdown. John Boy Media, where we support the parent company, go to John Boy Media on the Twitter or the YouTube. There's a breakdown. So Kimbrel throws a pitch. Kimbrel doesn't throw a pitch. Kimbrel gets a shot clock violation. Shot clock violation, doesn't throw the pitch, asks for a new ball. And Realmuto puts his glove up to say, give me the ball, throw it back to him. Umpire throws it himself. Okay, Kimbrel gets the ball, hates the ball, throws it away. Realmuto puts his glove up, thinks, oh, God, this guy's actually going to throw it back again. Puts his glove down. Guy tries to put it in his glove, whiffs, gets a little upset, tosses him. Crazy sequence. Crazy. And the video of just like the 4 seconds of like Realmuto putting his glove up, putting his glove down, not looking at the guy, him throwing it, and then immediately ejecting him was crazy.
Never seen it.
Realmuto was, you have to actually be like in shock. Like he's like, what? Like, what do you mean I'm tossed?
Do you think he turned around and was like, what'd you throw out?
He's probably like, wait, who'd you just toss?
Well, especially because like to get tossed out of a spring training game is
it's hard to do out here.
I'm trying to catch our potential closer or eighth inning guy, whatever Kimbrel's gonna do for them. And like I'm trying to get a couple more bats before we start this thing up, and you're gonna toss me? Like, what's going on?
And the whole thing was like, and everyone said it, but like it's not even looking at the umpire. Like, how could he possibly have timed that to be disrespectful? Like, and like you said, he had just thrown the one before back to Kimbrel. So he's probably like, new one. And he's like, oh, wait, he always throws it out to the pitcher and puts his glove down.
You can see in the video. That's what he's saying. He said, I thought he was throwing it back. And he's also, this guy's played 1,005 major league games and has zero career ejections.
Yeah.
Spring training.
That's the ump must have just, I don't know. He must have just not been about it that day, because that was one where it's like, he didn't even do anything. Like, even if he did it on purpose, like, is that worthy of an ejection? I don't think so. I'd be like, okay, JT, pick the ball up. Like, if you're going to do that, like, you can pick it up and throw it back. Like, I don't even think it's worthy if it's on purpose.
There's kind of a crazy thing too, where they like one of either the crew chief or somebody like supported him, which was kind of bananas. But like, I will say, I think the umps have done an amazing job with the
nice butter them up before.
Got to butter them up. No, I'm serious about this. I'm dead serious. There's been a lot of stuff
for sure. Hey, wink, wink.
I don't like what this guy did, but there's
right.
a
They're
lot
doing
of,
great.
There's been a lot of stuff this spring that they've had to worry about with like the clocks and the buzzers that get going on and all the other like the shift rule and all this stuff and trying to figure out how that's going to work with a lot of notes, I think, from MLB on the way, along the way. And so it's been the adjustments they've made and like how much they've communicated with players has been really good. I do think you're going to see, and I might be a culprit of it, like if I'm getting in the box and that guy is coming set as I'm looking up and I'm not ready, I'm going to be.
Didn't they change that?
To be talking
sure,
to
like,
somebody.
I'm pretty sure they made like an emphasis on it. Like, hey, you cannot be set before he gets in the box.
Yes, but like, yeah, but like, you know, when you, all right, here's the example. I call time. Two strikes. I call time. That guy is pretty close to having his pitch, right? Even if they've gone through any sequence or he already has his pitch. So by the time I even step back in the box, he's got his pitch. So I get back in the box with 15 seconds. I know I have 7 seconds to get to see the pitcher or whatever. So I go through my process. Like I'm coming up to get set. And like as I'm coming up to get set, he's coming set or he's going into his windup. I'm going to be upset. And you have to, if I need to see the clock, the whole thing, Dakota, you were saying, like, if you're looking up or Tom, if you're looking up, I should be able to pitch. If you're in the box, I have to see where the clock is, to see how many seconds are on the clock, I have to look past the pitcher to the clock in the outfield wall. So like, just to even see what time it is, I got to go check behind the pitcher. So I might be looking up, but I'm not like looking at the pitcher. I'm going like, oh, there's 12 seconds left.
There's also another thing too, two things. Well, you know how we always said the common sense, like that needs to be a part of the whole clock. We had a meeting on last week, a week before that, like common sense is like prevailing in it, I guess you could say. Like, if you take a G hack and you kind of fall over, or if you get brushed up and in helmet falls off, they'll like give you like, hey, like wait a second. And then they'll restart the clock. It's not like, hey man, you almost died, but by the way, you're at 11 seconds. You better look up. And then the like, so say you call time, or in that instance, like they're holding the clock for you. So like if I call time early in that bat and I don't have a timeout for the rest of the at bat, and like I get in there with or say I get brushed up and in, and I'm like, all right. And now if I get back in there at 15 seconds, I'm like, fuck, this guy can wait the whole time. But now you can tell the umpire, like, hey, start the clock, I'm good. Even if you're outside of the box,
yeah,
so
that
then
was
you
smart.
Get in there at 9 or 8 seconds.
That's my thing. Zach did it all last year. Like, it's not going to be as bad as people think. Like, people think like, oh, like this is never going to work, or like stuff like it's going to be super complicated. Like, it was pretty seamless, wouldn't you say, Zach? Like, there's maybe 2 weeks adjustment, adjustment.
It's just tough because like, there's so much more riding on MLB games, obviously. So like, you have to kind of be like, there has to be concrete rules, you know, but again, but you can also attest like, or tie it to the NFL play clock. Like, yes, there's some refs that call it as soon as that shit hits zero, like, hey, we're calling it. But then there's also some that will look at the clock, look at the ball and look back at the clock. And then it's like, oh, sorry, I didn't call it. But it's way more like, it's easier to yell at umpires and to get under their skin if you're, you know, you're bit, it's so it's quieter, you know, you're closer, you have way more attention on the umpires, you know? But yes, I agree. I think again, said it all since this has started, it's going to be like, and you're going to look up and be like, all right, this is kind of, I got the hang of it. It's kind of easy.
But it also wouldn't, I didn't really notice it last year at all, like in AAA, but I feel like in the big leagues, there will be, like you said, Zach, about the NFL, like there will be certain umps that will be like, oh, like 8 seconds, he wasn't looking, strike. Like there will be some that are right on it, and there will be others be like, all right, like he looked at 7.5. Who cares? Like, let's just go. Let's keep playing the game.
Because then, like we said, it takes longer if the umpire to be like, time, like, hey, that's a strike. And then, like, chances are if I'm in at 8 seconds or seven and a half seconds, like I may say something like, Bill, come on, like, there's no way, like, again, so that's 30 seconds right there. And then God forbid if a manager gets into it because he hasn't been calling shit for the other team, you know, like it's going to be interesting with that.
There's also, I feel like you could like kind of like say the second pitch of the at bat, like you were like right around that eight. Like if you're the ump, like you can give you like, hey man, like just be careful of that clock. Like if it, like I've got to get you on the next one. So yeah, like if it happens thing, again, then it's like, hey man, like I told you, like I got to call a strike here. Like
same thing as a balk when like in between innings, the ump would be like, hey Dakota, you know, like hey, if he's checking your glove, hey, I'd be careful. You know, like if you're not coming set, I'm gonna have to bang you next inning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The flow of the game has actually been really good the last week or so, and they've done a better job. Like, they were really strict on the clock early. They've done a better job of, like, it starting at a more natural pace, and the games are still – we played a 150-something the other day.
Yeah, so, like, and, like, you have to be really strict in the spring training or it's not going to change anything. So, like, it sucked, you know, like, there was things – like, games being ended and stuff, and it's like, okay, like, Manfred actually said, like, hey, this is a good thing that this is being an issue right now. Because it won't be in 4 weeks when the season starts. It won't be.
100%. Let's
if you're not strict, it's gonna get ugly. But
let's give the people the Sloan screen time. Let's tell them about Sloan. Let's give them the Sloan screen time. Let's let people know how much Dakota's been on his phone.
I've been on my phone. Tough day for the kid.
I'll own up to this. I have my phone set so the display screen doesn't go off. And the other night I fell asleep with my phone on. So I looked at my bar today and I was like, oh, it's not that bad. And it's 6 hours and 9 minutes. But the way it's all thrown off is because there's a day where I have like 15 hours because it was like 8 hours of sleep in there.
Oh, no. Sloan's the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. The company is at the forefront of green building movement and provides smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water efficient products, including
the flushometer.
Flushometers, faucets, sink systems, soap dispensers, fixtures for commercial, industrial, institutional markets worldwide. Learn more at sloan.com.
I don't know what happened to my phone.
Oh my God.
It says, you know, 4 minutes and it doesn't show any data the last 2 days.
You know?
Very convenient.
It doesn't show anything. Like I click on week, it shows nothing.
Yeah. Mine was like 5 hours and 1 minute.
I don't know what happened.
Sounds like you've been spending a lot of time on the flushometer. 3 hours and 2 minutes for me.
I have an NA. Sorry. I don't know what happened. Yeah, it doesn't have anything for my whole week.
Dakota, my man. We believe you.
Why would I lie? I don't care.
I don't think it's an NA. I think it's just an L. I think you just lost. I think if you
don't, I mean, that's definitely a loss.
That's fine. I'll take a loss, but I don't know what to tell you. I literally have no data for the week, so there's really nothing I can do.
Tom, can you put 24 hours for him on the?
I'll put it on the graph.
Do that, dude. Yeah, that's fine. That's fair. It is what it is. You know, you got to be held accountable sometimes.
Can I say one more thing about Parse? I would like
you can always say things about Parse.
The amazing story that we heard from our friend in Oregon. If you have a Parse story, if you have like a time that you went to a bar and saw it, or the first time you had Parse, or you went to your local Binnie's or Total Wine, you got Parse. Why don't you tell us a story, right, Tom? A little DM, and then we'll start reading a couple on the episode.
Why can't they send it to
Tom,
you?
Send Tom a DM.
No. Send it to the compound. You're not
send Tom personally a DM. Just kidding. Send it to the compound or Tom personally, and tell us your Parse story, and we'll read a few on the air. These two are just—they're checked out. They're looking at their phone.
What did you want me? What did you want me to say?
Reported their screen time.
What did you want me to say?
Now they're trying to get it up before they go to bed.
Literally.
That's episode 152 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. Go to Benny's, go up to the wine, get some Parse. Opening day's tomorrow. We'll see you next week.
Go Toledo Mudhens.